The Senate Judiciary Committee is called to order. It is 1:40. We do have a quorum to conduct business consisting of myself, Senator McGuire, my vice chairman, my trusty vice chairman, Senator John Coghill, Senator Mia Costello, and Senator Bill Willikowski. We have just one thing that we're doing today, which is the matter of all appointments that have come to this committee the governor has made. And I want to clarify on the record, we had the matter of one of the Skip Cook, and the question about whether or not he had been approved, and my staff researched it, and in fact we'd already approved him. So we're good on Skip Cook, putting that on the record. And these are the only remaining ones we have in our committee so far, so we'll bring them up. First I'm going to go to Alan Trombley. He has been put forward, his name has been put forward to serve on the Board of Governors for the Alaska Bar. And for each of you who are on the line, when I come to you, if you could unmute and begin by telling us why you want to serve, why you accepted the governor's desire to have you on the individual board that you've been selected for. So with that, Mr. Trombley, if you'd tell the Senate Judiciary Committee why you wish to serve.
Sure. Well, I've been on there for the last 3 years. And just for the record, it's actually Adam Trombley. I didn't want that to be confused. Alan Trombley. But I've enjoyed being on the board the last 3 years. The thing I've enjoyed the most, and I think that it really, and I'll give it to the Bar Association, or at least the board, is the disciplinary component that we do with attorneys who break bar rules. And I think the board has done a very good job of disciplining its own members and coming down hard on its own members to maintain the integrity that the board does have. And I've specifically enjoyed that aspect, and I just want to maintain, and I just want to continue doing that for the next 3 years, keeping up with the board, the objectives of the board, which is to increase justice for everybody, and just want to continue that for the next 3 years.
Excellent. Questions from members of the committee? Senator Costello.
Hello, Adam. This is Mia. I just wanted to say I'm really happy that you're, have your name back in the hat for this. And I just wanted to mention, we really have talented Alaskans who are serving on our boards and commissions. And Adam's a constituent of mine, and I just wanted to say I think that continuity on the boards, too, is something that I think is important.
Excellent. Appreciate that.
Anything further from other members? Thank you for your willingness to serve, Adam. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate your testimony here today. So next,
thank you very much.
You bet. Next, we're going to go to the Alaska Judicial Council for members. Loretta Bullard has been appointed out of Nome to serve on the Alaska Judicial Council. Loretta. Ms. Bullard, if you could go ahead and put your name on the record and tell us why you wish to serve on the Alaska Judicial Council, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Loretta Bullard. I live in Nome, reside in Nome, and I had a number of individuals that had approached me some time ago encouraging me to put my name in, and I thought long and hard about it. And I decided to go ahead and do that. I think I bring a rural voice to the Alaska Judicial Council. I retired several years ago, and I have time to work on things other than work. Previously, I did a lot of traveling and had a lot of commitments that was related to my work and wasn't able to necessarily serve in these kinds of forums. And I think it's important because I think that the group makes recommendations to the governor as to a slate of individuals for his consideration, and I think that's very important work. I think that the individuals that are appointed to serve as judges in the state are very critical in terms of the public having confidence in our judicial system, and so that was the reason I put my name in.
Excellent. Any further questions for Ms. Bullard? Senator Coghill.
First of all, grateful for you being willing to serve, and we really appreciate that. I think your voice is going to be an important part of the voice that probably in judicial counsel we like to get it as controversial as we can from the legislative perspective, but I really appreciate your thoughtfulness in it. I've read your resume. I appreciate the previous work that you've done. I just wanted to let you know we're very grateful for that.
Thank you.
And I echo the comments of the Vice Chair, Loretta. Really appreciate it. And I think it's so important to have geographical representation on the various councils and boards. This particular governor has done a great job of that, both in gender diversity and in geographical diversity, and I appreciate it. So thank you for your service, and we wish you the best of luck as you move forward in the process.
Thank you very much.
Okay, next we're going to go to the Commission on Judicial Conduct. We have three people who have been nominated, and all three of them are online. I'm just going to take them in the order in which they appear. Coming out of Fairbanks, we have Carla Taylor Welch, who has been put forward for the Commission on Judicial Conduct. And so, Ms. Taylor Welch, if you would put your name on the record, please, and tell the Senate Judiciary Committee why you wish to serve on the Commission on Judicial Conduct.
Hello, this is Carla Taylor Welch, and I apologize first because I have I woke up this morning with a scratchy throat, and so I don't necessarily sound like myself at the moment, but my voice isn't always as deep. But I am in Fairbanks. I am a lifelong Alaskan, and in fact a third generation Alaskan, and especially my family has a history of public service. My grandfather was one of the members of the Constitutional Convention and was actually Speaker of the House for a number of years. My father was a lawyer. I was raised by a judge, you might say, and so I think I have always been able to see the human side of that. I think if you don't have that perspective, sometimes it's a little bit harder to see judges as people while respecting them as judges as well. I was asked to put in my name, and I thought about it for a while and decided it would be a good form of public service. I've been a public employee for a number of years and felt like this would be another way that I could contribute to the state.
Excellent. Great background. You're from Senator Coghill's neck of the woods.
Yeah.
So any further questions from members on the committee? Senator Coghill.
Just Carla, thank you for being willing to do this, and you do bring a nice depth of experience and a variety of experience, both in working in the law and rubbing shoulders with these folks. So I really appreciate your willingness to step up.
Thank you.
Okay, we appreciate your willingness to serve, Carla. And again, good luck to you in the process. We wish you well. Next, we will bring up Robert Sheldon. He is an appointee from Anchorage for the Commission on Judicial Conduct. Robert, please tell us why you wish to serve and why you feel you're qualified to serve.
Well, good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Robert Sheldon. I too, as the previous person, am a third-generation Alaskan. I'm following in my family's example of public service here since the 1920s. I'm presently engaged with finance-related endeavors across the Arctic states, including Alaska. I've served on several boards, commissions, and councils here in Alaska. This would be my third term on judicial conduct. I know time flies. As you know, the commission investigates alleged judicial misconduct and ethical impropriety, and of course, fortunately, most complaints are either unsubstantiated or non-jurisdictional in nature. Most recently, I'm confident my education, work, and interest in finance and economics extend to interconnections with the judiciary. We all know that rule of law is critical to the orderly functioning of an economy, but it's also priced in as components of Alaska's cost of capital. Alaska is priced as if it is an emerging economy rather than a developed economy, and so it's my hope that through continued ensuring of confidence in the judiciary that that component of cost of capital would come down over time. It's been a very humbling as well as extremely satisfying experience serving the previous two terms, but it's also become abundantly clear that there is utmost importance that the commission have some measure of continuity of service and perspective amongst the commission members. As you know, the judge and attorney representatives frequently are unable to serve for more than 1 4-year period. And as a public member, we help bridge that long-term continuity, and I hope to continue to be part of that. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, my compliments to your remarks and to your qualifications, Robert. Know you very well, and I guess I would only just say you might be underutilized if you're only on the Judicial Conduct Commission. I'd love to see you, a part of other boards and things moving forward, like ADA. Your background in economic development is almost unparalleled, and I appreciate it and look forward to your continued service to our state on this particular commission and in other capacities. Other questions from other members? Okay. With that, we will put your name forward, and again, good luck in the process as well.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Next, we'll go to Amy Gerton Mead out of Juneau, Alaska, and also a gubernatorial pick for the Alaska Commission on Judicial Conduct. Ms. Mead, if you'd put your name on the record, please tell us why you'd like to serve and why you're qualified.
Yes, my name is Amy Gerton Mead. I am the city attorney in Juneau. I started out in Ketchikan quite a while ago. I was a judicial clerk in Ketchikan for a superior court judge, a prosecutor for 2 years. I was in private practice for 12 years, primarily as a civil litigator. I started public sector work in 2010 and became the city attorney in 2013. This would be my second term on the Conduct Commission. I think that the commission provides a critical function in fostering public confidence and trust in the judiciary. I think it is the only method whereby someone who has appeared in front of the court has a process to be heard when they feel things have gone unfairly for them. I think we faced a lot of difficult issues on my last term. It was very challenging. I think it was very important work. For the reason that I just stated, I'd be honored to continue doing that work for the board.
Really appreciate your willingness to serve, Amy, and I think you're going to be an excellent addition. I hadn't realized that you were the city attorney for Juneau. That's quite an accomplishment, and we're very lucky that you'd be willing to share your time. Just one comment on the record. I really appreciate the work you all have done in the past with respect to the council, but in particular, some of the areas that interest me are where you have a situation where a judge may not be responding equally to women and men in the court process, and it's something that has been kind of a raising issue in the 3rd Judicial District in my neck of the woods. We now are finally getting our second superior court female on the bench there, but of course all of the divorce cases and custody cases, quite frankly, going through that bench, and there have been many women over the years that have approached me and felt they were treated in a way that was not necessarily fair in the process. And so I just flag that one as something to continue to look for. Just because someone is a man does not necessarily mean that they are unfair to women. Of course, I'm not trying to imply that on the record. We have two very great men here on our committee, for example. But it can be an issue. It has been an issue, and I know you've dealt with it over the years on that commission. So just something I flag.
Thank you.
Anything further? Senator Coghill.
And one other comment for which I am grateful for you being willing to serve. And listening to the Chief Justice this morning, it became apparent to us that they are being very careful on keeping their budget as tight as they can. Whether it's in the judiciary or in the executive, downward pressure means corners can be cut. And my guess is your workload might even go up. I think all of us have to be alert to it this year. And I wish I had a thought to say it to the others, but it's just something that we have to be even more alert to than ever before, I think.
We'll keep that in mind.
Excellent. Anything further from the committee? thank you, Ms. Gurton-Mead. We appreciate your willingness to serve and wish you well in the continuation of the process.
Thank you.
Okay, and next, I saved the best for last, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. Senator Coghill knows this is my favorite regulatory commission, favorite commission. In all seriousness, we have Rebecca Pauly, who has been put forward as a new appointee. And so I'd like us to spend, I saved this one for last. I know Rebecca, I think she is a competent attorney. I personally think she would be good, but I'd like to save this one for last and have members delve into this and ask some questions on the record, because this would in fact be her first time serving. I refer to the RCA as a mini Supreme Court here in the building, Ms. Pauly. And so I'll open with the first question. What do you think about that statement, and how do you feel your background will qualify you to be on the mini Supreme Court, and why are you interested in serving?
Okay. Well, I am interested in serving because of my background. I bring a very unique skill set to the commission. When I was in private practice, I represented both rural and urban utilities, so I have a sense of the two extremes. And then my administrative law experience as an adjudicator sort of fills out that other half of the need. I don't think of it so much as a mini Supreme Court as I do a court that has a huge impact on the state. So many times people go in their houses and they flip on the switch and they don't think about everything that goes into getting the electricity there, or they pick up the phone and they just, you know, expect that dial tone. And the RCA is the entity that oversees all of that, that sets the prices, that goes ahead and in many ways influences what shape the infrastructure is going to end up taking along the rail belt, looks at how utilities in rural areas can have a sufficient rate of return to get the money that's necessary to upgrade the equipment to become more efficient. But, and the reason I say it's not of the Supreme, mini Supreme, is because you can always appeal. So, but the ramifications of the decisions that body makes are huge and as far-reaching as the state itself.
On that point, could you give me an example of one urban opinion and one more rural-based opinion that you can pick either one you agreed with or disagreed with that you feel charted new unprecedented territory in Alaska?
Respectfully, I've just started going through recent opinions to see what the commission has been ruling and doing. I can speak to back in the 90s when I was in private practice and those decisions.
Yes, that'd be fine.
Okay. And of course, they're ones that I was involved in, and they came out in my favor, so I think they're brilliant.
Of course.
One in particular was my very first case before the RCA, and it had to do with a rural village that was trying to use the rate as a matter of social engineering in the small community so that the essentially the Washateria was picking up for the cost of service and the individual ratepayers. Everybody used the washout area, and the reason that it was an interesting decision is because the regulations prescribed a demand step-based rate structure, so that those with the highest demand, paid more. But what was needed was a postage stamp rate, so it was a flat rate all the way across, and managed to get that through. And so by doing so, it allowed the Washout area to remain open and spread the cost out amongst everyone in the village who used it. So that was pretty important, because had we gone with the step demand rate, the Washout area would have had a very huge electric bill. And so in going with the postage stamp, there was some social engineering in making sure that even though Aunt Molly was not the largest user in her house, but that she would end up covering part of the cost of the Washout area, which she relied upon. So I thought that was a pretty good decision. And in the urban areas, quite frankly, it was the decision to let ALEC purchase the PTI and the ATU to form ACS. By doing that, let me back up. Prior to that, I had been involved in a lot of the deregulation of telephone utilities under the Telecom Act with the rural utilities. They had formed a group to make sure their interests were represented. And so by ACS doing that, it was a huge factor in allowing competition to take place in the telecommunication industry along the rail belt. And there were hearings regarding everything from public service that these individual utilities performed and how it would happen under ACS, but really it was just shepherding it through so that competition could take place in an area that was able to support it.
Excellent examples. I have one further question at this moment, and then I'm going to open up to other members, of course. My question regards the recent purchase by the municipality of Anchorage in the ConocoPhillips holdings at the Beluga Field. And that issue will be coming before the RCA soon. Hopefully it'll be expedited for our people. But I'm curious about, I see in your background, obviously you were officially associated with Municipal Light and Power as an executive assistant to the general manager between 1992 and 94. And then, of course, you went on to be the assistant municipal attorney and associate attorney at Kemple, Huffman, and Ellis, where it describes work on the purchase of the Beluga River gas unit at that moment. And so I just wanted to hear, one, do you feel you have any conflicts that would prevent you from ruling on that opinion? And then, two, I'm curious to know your thoughts about it.
Well, first of all, when I was looking at my application and I saw that, and I was trying to think what it was that I did on that purchase, and I can honestly tell you I have no recollection.
Fair point.
Roger Kemple was the primary person, and I'm sure that he probably had some legal issues that he had me research, but it's been so long that I just remember being in a room and talking about it, but I can't tell you exactly what we were doing. And on the other, I don't have an opinion. I don't think that my opinion, respectfully, Chair matters because it's going to be whatever evidence is presented, what the statutes and regulations provide, and where there are questions of policy that the legislature has delegated to the RCA, at that point, it would be important to implement that policy in keeping with the statutes and regulations and fulfilling the, you know, the duty. I have no opinion at this time because I don't know enough.
Well said. I appreciate your answer. That's exactly what I would have hoped that you would have said. And I obviously it's an area of interest for those of us in the Anchorage area, because of available and affordable power. But more importantly, I think the times where I've felt in the legislature we can bump up against the RCA, it's been in those places where there is perhaps an overstretching of delegated authority, depending on your opinion. And then we've come back in and clarified it, whether it's with respect to subsidization of phone lines, or whether it's in that border between enabling competition and subsidization, or whether it's in the area of independent power producers, for one example, and allowing their access into the marketplace. The legislature continues to speak more often and more clearly on those matters, and I appreciate the RCA's willingness in more recent opinions, especially to responding to that. And I think it's, you know, wholly appropriate because we're the body between the House and the Senate that are held up for re-election every 2 to 4 years, and we have to stand before the voters. And if people don't like the bills that we write. Right now I've got a few ideas some people don't like, for example, on the permanent fund. But just as an example, they get to vote us out. And I think that's such an important point to continue to remember, that this regulatory commission has delegated powers, but they come from those who are elected, and it's important to follow that chain of lawmaking. So I appreciate your answer. Any other questions for Ms. Pauley? Senator Coghill.
Just a comment. And I like the way you started off, Rebecca. It really is about how do we get the ratepayers the fairest rate that can be understood. So I really appreciate that. One of the things that we struggle with down here is how to encourage an industry to invest in Alaska. But also, if there is value that the state is adding to that industry, that it somehow gets down to the consumers. And I guess that's been hit and miss in many ways. For example, one of the areas that has grown into a troublesome area is how to move electricity up to the Fairbanks area, for example. And a new term that I learned along the way is pancaking. And it's that you have to be able to move from one transmission owner to another transmission owner, and you have to buy your way up to the Fairbanks area. And I think they're trying to do a system operator that would allow that to kind of collapse down. So I don't know if that is something that we have to take care of here in the legislature. We can mandate, I suppose, but is that something that you have seen? Is it a regulatory issue, or is that something that we have to deal with in the legislature, or do you even know enough about it to comment?
I don't know enough about it to comment, but I have been doing some reading in preparation for taking the seat on March 1st and hopefully after April 19th. And, for example, the U.S. Supreme Court just issued a decision that indicated that FERC got to set the wholesale rates, and that it was not an infringement on states' rights, that state had the retail end, and that because the electricity was passing through, that FERC could set those rates. So I don't know. I know that it's not that FERC would come into play here, but it's just an interesting way to look at that commodity of a natural monopoly that has sort of overlap in lines and points of demarcation. So I don't know. I think that would be a good question to ask your AG.
I think we will.
If I may, Senator Coghill, I'd like to respond to something that Senator McGuire had mentioned and that I can speak to, which is the statutes set the policy, and administrative agencies implement that policy through regulation. That is how I look at the structure between the legislature, the executive branch, and the administrative agencies.
Another question? Thank you for that. We're glad to hear that. but it is true that there are so many areas and laws that even in this arena can get ambiguous that deliver you some conundrums, so we appreciate that. The other thing that comes up with the RCA is the timing of dockets. Timing is a particular issue because they march on the consumer economics and they march on investment economics, and timing has been procedurally and practically a real problem. So is that something that you've studied into? Is that something that you're just going to catch it as you do, or is there some thought you have on just the timing of dockets?
There are always dockets that are going to take on a life of their own, I call them the barking dogs. Generally speaking, dockets, if the parties are prepared, and I'm sorry if I'm babbling on here, but I actively control my cases here at the Office of Administrative Hearings. I'm a very, I hold status conferences. I don't allow parties just kind of flounder along, and then I deal with them on the day of hearing. I don't know what's happened at the RCA. I know that back in the 90s, it was a problem. And I don't know what they've put in place. I don't know if it's a top-down, bottom-up. I know that they've recently lost some very experienced individuals. I don't know if they've been replaced. I don't know what permission they've had to replace people who have left, or if it's a need for more people along the bottom. But I do know that there's an issue. I don't plan on going in and saying, "Oh, I've got the answer," and I certainly want to see how things work, and maybe my approach to handling dockets might help with that.
Madam Chair, and if I might just comment, thank you, and we're asking you to look into some. You're right, there was a history, but now part of the problem I hear is investment timing and the timing of rate structures don't always match up. And so that's not so much a delay problem as getting the regulation in an economic cycle that kind of fits. So, but I can tell you, for electricity in the Fairbanks area, we have no complaints. I mean, every time we've gone, the consumer has been taken care of and the utility's got an answer right away. So I don't know that that's a complaint at this point. Now, the telephone issue is a different issue to us because it's dynamic, and most of us don't understand the issue. But one of the things that we will be looking at both in law and maybe some input from you all is on surcharges that help us maintain a 911 system that has not yet been, I think, solidified. And I know there's a working group on it. They may talk to RCA. But it's something that we in the legislature know is out there. We just don't always know how to fix it. It may end up at your front door.
Well, if it does, I will do my best to fix it.
Thank you. I'm just trying to give you a heads up.
I appreciate it, and I also appreciate being asked about the issues, because I am trying to figure out what it is that I'm going to be walking into. And so I've been doing my best. Commissioner and Chair Patch have given me material to help me get up to speed, and I'm right now feel like I'm working two jobs, wrapping up my cases here and trying to get ready for my new job.
Well, count us in as a resource, some of us here in the legislature, anytime you want. We can walk you back through some interesting places, but places that have been resolved. And I think Senator Coghill hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's certainly been the telephone wars, but really the point of all of it is the access that consumers should have and the rates consumers should have. And it's always challenging when you're trying to allow competition in, as you know. And also the rate setting part, which you pointed out in the Washateria. And then as we continue to move forward in energy, a lot of the stuff that Senator Wilikowski and I worked on, co-chairing the Senate Energy Committee, we're just uncovering how rudimentary our systems still are, the lack of grid and the lack of redundancy and frankly, the lack of opportunities, as I said before, for innovation and independent power producers who have that innovation to successfully enter the marketplace. So I wish you well on your journey, and I appreciate you your willingness to serve and do just remind you that we're a resource. I talk with many of the commissioners often and always and over the years, so I throw that out to you. Anything further here on the committee? Any questions? Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Pauley, for your time today. We wish you the best of luck in your journey along this process. And I will go ahead and adjourn the committee today early, and we'll pass around the sign-up sheets. So with that, we're adjourned.